Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Drive green this spring with John Deere and Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden. Find the perfect gator, mower, or tractor for your yard. Quality and reliability. Scruggs Farm Lawn and Garden, 3575 Tom Watson Drive in Saltillo.
Over that same wire that Borky did. I don't know what he did there, but we had a problem there for like a half hour. He said he tripped over something, and he just said, the heck with it, I'm not plugging it back in. I don't know what happened.
Yeah, we got to tape that thing down.
Yeah, get a little red wire or something so people see it. I don't know. If you guys want to join the show, you know how to do it. The C Spire text line is open to you, 601-879-4395. The best teams know how to get even better. That's why C Spire constantly enhances their wireless, fiber internet, and business solutions for you. Visit cspire.com today. C Spire, inspired by you. A lot going on here in Starkville. A lot going on here in Mississippi State. We are about 13 minutes away from my conversation with Jacob Rudner from Baseball America. We're going to go in depth a little bit on this this coaching search, but I wanted to give you my thoughts on it before we do that. And obviously a huge series this weekend for Mississippi State baseball. The immediate present for Mississippi State baseball is they have two series remaining against Ole Miss and Missouri. They need to win them both, and if they do that, they'll be playing postseason baseball. You know, I don't think that's a stretch at all. If they get to 14 wins in the SEC, they will play postseason baseball. And if they get to 15 or 16 wins, if they could somehow sweep both series, which I wouldn't project them to do, they could be a two seed in somebody's regional. As it is, the both regional, very odd. You think about Baseball America and D1, you think they'd want to have some differences. And they did, you know, in other regionals. But their predictions for Mississippi State were both the same. Both had State in the Tallahassee regional. Florida State, the number three overall seed, had Troy as the two seed, Mississippi State as the three seed, and Bethune-Cookman as the four seed. State already played Troy earlier this year, lost to the Trojans in Starkville back in February. So that would be a rematch between those two teams. This weekend series between the Rebels and the Bulldogs, huge for both teams. This is one, in terms of stakes, this is one of the biggest ones we've had in some time. You know, you go back to 21, both of those teams knew they were really, really good teams, right? 22, 23, 24, not the best teams ever. But going back further than that, you know, 19, 18, yeah, so on and so forth, you had good teams. The 18 series is interesting. That's the last time Ole Miss played Mississippi State while State had an interim coach. That was the series where State had gotten off to a horrible start that year. Andy Cannizzaro had been dismissed. They struggled through the first few weeks of the conference. And then Ole Miss came to town. Ole Miss may have been number one in the nation. They were certainly in the top five. And State got two out of three from them, including a walk-off win on Sunday when Luke Alexander hit a home run in extra innings. For State, it's this simple. They have to win these next two series if they want to play postseason baseball. There is a scenario, I guess, where State could drop this series but sweep Missouri, and that might be enough. But honestly, the Missouri series is not doing anything for your resume. You'd be safer just to win this series. So winning this series, I mean, you're an overwhelming favorite to win the series with Missouri, and that would be enough. We got a question here on the C Spire text line about that. Let me pull it up here. If State wins one of three, they would have to sweep Missouri. But if they win two of three, would that give them the luxury of being able to lose one to Missouri and still be okay? I think so. It would be the shame of being the one win, being the one in the 29-1, or 1-29, I should say, that Missouri's looking to put up. But yes, if they win this series, they only need really need to get two from Missouri. I would agree with that. For the Rebels, it's win this series, win next weekend, and you're probably hosting. So there's pressure on both sides. State needs these wins to get into the postseason. Ole Miss needs these wins to secure a hosting spot. For me, and I think Richard tried to disagree with me on this, and I've asked four different people since then, and they all think I'm right. And that's the series has more meaning for State. Because Ole Miss, no matter what happens, if they don't host, that will be disappointing. But this was a team that was predicted towards the bottom of the conference. Nobody thought they were a postseason team back in February. They've overachieved to this point. They've played really good baseball. Bianco's done a really good job putting this team together. If they don't host, they don't host. But they're in the tournament. They're going to play postseason baseball. State doesn't have that luxury yet. State has to win four. In reality, they have to win five of their final seven. And the five matter. They can't lose to North Alabama next week, by the way. That just write that down. You can't lose that game. Losing to Missouri will hurt your resume, but if you win 14 SEC games, to my knowledge, I'm pretty sure I'm right on this, no team has ever won 14 SEC games and been left out of the NCAA tournament. Missouri will go 0-30, no question. Goodness, that's going to be tough. If they get swept this weekend and they're 0-27, goodness, there's pressure on State at that point. Do you want to be the team that did that? I don't know. Big series, though. And what a great pitching matchup to start us off on Friday night. 7:30 first pitch, by the way. So that means that atmosphere should be buzzing, both literally and figuratively, in Dudy Noble Field. Pico Khan versus Hunter Elliott, two of the best pitchers in the SEC. Two of the best Friday night guys. And I said this on Sports Talk Mississippi, and I said it in our conversation with Todd Walker. I think whoever gets the Friday night game is going to win the series. It will be really, really tough to come back and get the next two if you lose on Friday. Now, from the Ole Miss perspective, if State wins on Friday, they're going to pack that stadium out on Saturday. We're going to have close to 15,000, I would imagine. And in that case, in that environment, I would like State's chances to just go ahead and get the win on Saturday. If Ole Miss wins, you'll still have a good crowd, but Ole Miss will be able to play with a little less pressure on their shoulders, I think, whereas State would have to ramp it up. And that's one of the reasons State played so well last weekend. I think they played with no pressure. I think, you know, we talked about it a little bit last week that after the Memphis game, that they just, the weight of Chris Lemonis's tenure coming to an end was off. And you saw that. I thought they played a lot more easy and free last weekend than they'd had in previous weekends. And so if you win on Friday, you know, you keep that going on. Greg and Jackson, do they count SEC tournament wins? That's a good question, Greg. Last year, State won 17 games in the SEC. They won the Governor's Cup, so that's an 18th SEC win. Then they won two games in the SEC tournament. That's 20 SEC wins, and it was not enough to host. So if you're banking on SEC tournament wins to do something for you, I would not. If you're talking about State, you know, having 13 SEC wins and then going to the tournament and winning a couple games, I wouldn't count on that as being enough. How many conference wins would Ole Miss have with three losses this weekend? MSU would have 13. If Ole Miss got swept this weekend, State would be a game ahead of them. Ole Miss would be 12-15. I think it's harder to do 0-30 than 30-0. I agree. I'll put it this way. If Missouri goes 0-30, they're the first one, and nobody's ever been 30-0. So there you go. Jeremy in Columbia, if State doesn't sweep Missouri, they don't deserve to be in the postseason. Saying that, I think they're getting hot at the right time. Of course, deserves got nothing to do with it, but I see where you're coming from. There definitely is something to that. When you lose to a team that's bad, why are you in the postseason? I agree. That said, State will be an overwhelming favorite to sweep, but it's difficult to sweep teams, and it's definitely difficult to sweep them on the road. You just got to kind of hope that they're just ready for the season to be over with. You know, they're probably upset that the SEC tournament this year is taking all 16 teams. They would like for it to be over next Saturday. Don't forget, next week, by the way, everybody's a Thursday, Friday, Saturday series, so they give everybody that extra day to prepare for the SEC tournament. Big series in Starkville. Right now, as it stands, you know, my prediction might change before I got to go with the podcast tomorrow. I think State's going to get this series. I think they're playing well. Ole Miss has lost three of their last four series. Ole Miss is, like, it's been weird. They started off the season, they couldn't pitch after Friday. Like, Hunter Elliott was good, and then after that it was, they got it, they scored a bunch of runs, but they were having problems keeping other teams from scoring runs. Then it flipped about midway through the season, and they were able to get better pitching performances, but they haven't been as good offensively. I think State right now is just in a better place. Now, I could be totally wrong about that. And Ole Miss could come in and be locked in and ready to play. But State, I guess give State the series with home field advantage more than anything else. I think that makes a thing. If we continue to play like we did last weekend, we go to Omaha. Let's just relax. They don't count the Governor's Cup as an SEC game. Well, you can tell Kendall Rogers that. He came on Sports Talk Mississippi and said the committee absolutely counts the Governor's Cup as an SEC game. So we'll see. All right, when we come back, my conversation with Jacob Rudner, Baseball America. Talked a little bit about this upcoming weekend, but more about the coaching search. He's got some definitive statements in there I want you guys to hear. We'll be back in just a minute. This is Thunder and Lightning Live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
I am absolutely and completely thunderstruck.
All right, we are back here on Thunder and Lightning. Earlier today, I had a chance to talk to Jacob Rudner of Baseball America. Got his thoughts on the weekend upcoming. And, of course, Mississippi State's coaching search. Jacob Rudner, Baseball America. Getting him back on the podcast was essential with all the news happening around college baseball at Mississippi State over these past few weeks. Let's start with the present and what's happening this weekend. Suddenly a very big series in here in the Magnolia State. And when State and Ole Miss tangle, obviously it's a big series anyway. But now there's real stakes involved. And this is the sort of the topic of today's pod. State needs wins to get in to this NCAA tournament. Your latest bracketology had State as the 3 seed in the Tallahassee sub-regional, matched up with Troy, obviously Florida State, and then Bethune-Cookman is the 4 seed. Ole Miss needs wins if they want to get back into the hosting discussion. They need to win their next 2 series with Mississippi State and Auburn. Just from that standpoint, who does this series mean more to this weekend?
You got to go with Mississippi State. I mean, we're talking about in versus out as opposed to host versus not. I think if you're one of these two teams, you'd much rather be in Ole Miss's shoes. That being said, not a small weekend for Ole Miss. I don't want to make it sound like I'm dismissing that either. I think that this is a really important opportunity for them to kind of reestablish some stability. We've seemingly kind of lost that in the last couple weeks with Ole Miss. But surely for Mississippi State, this is a statement opportunity. I mean, you part ways with your head coach partway through the season. You're working with an assistant coach, an interim head coach now. And for the players, it's an opportunity to you know, show something and kind of come together here and have a solid moment. And this is a big weekend, you know, going towards that.
When you watched Mississippi State last weekend, did they look any different to you just from a baseball standpoint? Obviously, I think the attitude was a little different. Maybe some of the weight was off their shoulders because now they know they don't have to try to save their coach's job. I don't know if that's the case or not. But just from a baseball standpoint, they look like they played better baseball to me last weekend than we've been seeing from them.
Yeah, you know, I think that they played better baseball, but it goes back to what you were just saying, which is that there might have been a different mentality with the weekend. I think that there is a level of energy and electricity that's generated by a coach being fired. I think that the players feel, you know, a certain type of way about that because it's hard not to feel like you're the one playing the game and the coach got fired for wins and losses at the end of the day. And that's hard, I can imagine, especially for somebody who's in college. And so I do think that this is kind of a byproduct of stepping up and coming together and trying to close out the season strong. And the byproduct of that, you know, is better baseball. But at the root, I think it starts upstairs right now.
I don't think, short of winning the national title, that Justin Parker will be the next head coach at Mississippi State. If he wins the national title, I think they'll probably just let him stay on. But is he using these next few weeks? Can this be an audition for him if he decides not to remain at Mississippi State or State's new coach doesn't want to keep him on staff, that he could be a head coach next season somewhere?
You know, I think in a way it is. To be a head coach next season somewhere, possibly. To be a high-profile assistant somewhere, if that's not Mississippi State, surely. I think that the job he's already done is impressive, and it hasn't even been that long. Like, we're already seeing them win. We're talking about how they've looked better, and there's a little bit of a different bounce to the team. All of those are positive signs, you know, for him and for his career. And so I do think that this is a launching pad opportunity. Short of a College World Series, as you said, this is not his job. This is going to go to a big fish, you know, in a big market. But the reality is, yes, you know, if you win games on a big stage like he would be doing, it counts for you in a positive way for your career.
Let's get into this coaching search. And we had our first public denial today, which, you know, for me, I always look at that and go, well, that must be the next coach. Because I go to Nick Saban saying I'm not going to be the head coach of the Dolphins. My podcast partner, Robbie Falk, said, well, think about Jim Schlossnagel and how adamant he was going to Texas. So I guess we'll just go ahead and start writing our Wes Johnson articles. Wes Johnson to Mississippi State is a very intriguing hire. That, to me, makes the biggest statement about what Mississippi State is willing to commit going forward to baseball. Do you agree with that?
I think that that is within the realm of truth. I would tell you that I think that Wes Johnson is one of the best candidates that you could get. I mean, I love the way that he has built that program. He's taken an analytical approach that we don't really see a whole lot of in college baseball. It's a very professional style of roster construction that was learned through his years as pitching coach with the Twins. I think that that's been super valuable for them. I do believe that the speed with which he's built Georgia is real. I think that he could go over to Mississippi State and do a similar job with their resources and how much that school wants to invest in the program. At the same time, he's an extremely expensive hire. So yeah. I don't know that he's the most realistic candidate. It would he be a huge splash? Of course, for both of those reasons. And that's kind of my point. I also don't know that he's the most realistic is the kind of the thing that I'm trying to couch this with. Like, yes, it would be one of the best hires that they could make. But I don't know that it's the hire that they're going to make because there are other good options out there that seem to kind of fit within the budget a little bit better.
So if you were to throw the name, you want a big name, you want what seems to be realistic, seems to be mutual interest, and financially there's not a massive buyout in a way. Brian O'Connor seems to fit all three of those bills. That's a name that, goodness, when it first was popped up and you find out, hey, there's actually some mutual interest between these two parties, I was kind of surprised. And it gave me, you know, that's a great name for Mississippi State. How realistic is the Brian O'Connor option here for the Bulldogs?
I would tell you it's very realistic. And I want to make clear, though, that's not me saying that I think he's the front runner. That's not me saying that they've had conversations. That this is merely me saying I think that he would make a lot of sense.
We had a long discussion about what mutual interest means on Sports Talk. Yeah. Doesn't mean anything. It just means there's mutual interest.
Great. So this is perfect after that conversation. I think that the important thing for people to understand here is that this is me saying that the fit in terms of the coach that Mississippi State would be effectively buying would make a lot of sense for them if they were able to get their hands on Brian O'Connor. I think that you can say the same thing about Tom Walter at Wake Forest. I think that that's a guy who has, over a course of years now, somewhat demonstrated an interest in maybe exploring his options elsewhere, getting to a point where he can be in a program that really wants to invest. And like we just said, Mississippi State is a program that absolutely wants to invest in its baseball. I could see Tom Walter having a very similar line of thought to exactly what we're talking about with Brian O'Connor, a very reputable coach, somebody who's been somewhere for a very long time. And is it time for a change of scenery? Could that help them if they were to get their hands on a larger sum of resources for their baseball program? I think both of those coaches are wondering that. And I think both of them would do a really good job if they had more resources.
I asked, we'll just say another college baseball writer this question because his answer intrigued me. I want to hear if yours is similar. The question was, when State hired Lemonis wasn't on anybody's initial hot board. Nobody was looking at Chris Lemonis until he was the guy. Is there a guy like that in this search? His answer was it won't get to that for Mississippi State.
I don't think it will get to that necessarily. I would add, though, that there is still an element of who becomes interested. How much money do you really want to spend? You don't know what you're going to be able to get until those financial conversations occur and you are able to establish a market. I would imagine that Mississippi State's already done that. But is there a candidate that falls in the lower end, let's call it, of the financial bracket that I think Mississippi State could realistically spend? We're talking, you know, $900,000 to $1 million, 1.1 a year for a coach. I would tell you that Dan Fitzgerald at Kansas makes a lot of sense. He's winning a lot of games. He's kind of that up-and-comer, popular name type coach, or at least that's what it's shaping up to be. Mm-hmm. I view them as a tournament team. They haven't done that since 2014. Very quick turnaround at a place that doesn't win a lot of baseball games. Do I think he's a candidate right now? No, I wouldn't go that far. And I do agree with the sentiment that, you know, this is a bigger fish job. But if I had to say one person who made a lot of sense from that either mid-major or smaller high-major type program, I think Fitzgerald with SEC experience makes a lot of sense.
If State ends up going the assistant route, if they decide, let's go after a high-ceiling assistant, does Josh Elander or Will Coggin make more sense to you?
I'm going to be really honest with you here. I actually think neither of them make sense. I don't think that Mississippi State is hiring an assistant. I think that that is one important note here. Could it come down to that? Like, I mean, we just talked about Dan Fitzgerald. Yeah, it could come down to that. Could it come down to either of those two guys you just mentioned? Nolan Cain's another guy who I think of when I think of big-time assistants that could get big-time jobs. Sure. Could it get there? Sure. I wouldn't predict it. I think that the conversation with Mississippi State needs to be around the big name coaches. And if not the big name coaches, your up and comer, you know, fast riser, younger Division I head coaches right now.
Very interesting to see the amount of what appears to be big name interest in this job. And I know this is a good job. Let me ask you this. We'll finish up with this. Where do you rank Mississippi State as a job? What if I say it's a top blank program, what's the number?
I would tell you that it's a top 10 job in the country right now based on the most important factors, which are, you know, community investment in the program and how much people care. And at the end of the day, truthfully, how much that turns into resources. I think the school's plan moving forward in terms of how it plans to potentially handle the house settlement and what allocation of funds baseball could be looking at, how much teams are investing in coaches for baseball and assistant coaching staffs. I think Mississippi State checks a lot of those boxes in a reasonably prominent way at a minimum. And all of those things combined, plus being in the premier conference, you know, yeah, it's a top 10 job. And I think that they will make a hire that reflects the status of that job.
The good news for you is, as a content creator, you got another 2-3 weeks of all this stuff because nothing's going to happen until after these regionals get done. We shall see. Jacob, appreciate your time as always. Jacob Rudner, Baseball America. Always glad to have you on Thunder and Lightning.
Thanks for having me.
Back in just a minute. We'll talk facilities when we come back on Thunder and Lightning.
Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
Listen up! There is a storm coming!
Ah, now you're my wheelhouse. Now we're in that Brian Haydad area. When Alice in Chains is on the radio, now we're talking. Now we're turning up the radio. Good stuff, Ryan. Thunder and Lightning, Super Talk, Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Rhino here with you on a Wednesday evening. If you want to be with us, the place to do it is the C Spire text line, 601-879-4395. All right, earlier today, Mississippi State made a major announcement regarding facilities on the Starkville campus. Coming summer of 2028, and if you're thinking right now, you're like, oh, why? That's a long time. Is it? Those of you who are in construction, I mean, you don't just announce something and then go out there and start shoveling dirt the next day. There's a lot of work to do between now and then, including fundraising for this building. The Billy W. Howard Sr. Indoor Practice Facility, $60 million facility, 110,000 square feet, plus additions to the current football facilities at the SEAL, scheduled to be done by 2028, with everything done by 2029. So you've got, you know, some eighth graders out there who their first year at Mississippi State, this will be open to them. In a time where most athletic directors and most athletic departments are really trying to funnel their money and trying to funnel their donations into NIL, this is, you know, it stands out. You've heard other athletic directors. Keith Carter came on this, not on this program. We were not having him on this program. If you're listening, Keith, and I bet you are, you're never going to be on this program. But Keith Carter, with Campbell Sports Talk Mississippi, and said, look, you know, we have plans for facilities, but we've got to kind of push those out for now because we need to focus on NIL. And I think Zach Selman and Mississippi State have done a fantastic job of raising NIL money since his arrival in Starkville. And God knows he was behind the eight ball when he got here. But he has gotten Mississippi State to a place where they can compete in football, in men's basketball, and in baseball. NIL not an issue for them. That being said, Mississippi State was the only football team in the conference without its own dedicated indoor practice facility. And that just couldn't be allowed to continue. They had to take that step forward. And so by doing it now, you're going to have, you know, one of the nicer ones available. It's so funny. I was looking. Florida built their – Florida was notoriously didn't have one for years because they're in Florida. How often is the weather so bad that you can't, you know – yeah, you know, when you're practicing football, that you can't go out and you know, be out in the outdoors. But theirs costs, I think, $15 million, and State's is going to cost $60 million. Well, I mean, prices are they're different. More on Cross in the morning. But this should be a state-of-the-art facility, and State needed to have one. They needed again. It's I don't think State you can point to a single recruit State's lost through the years where they were just like, well, they didn't have an indoor practice facility, so I crossed them off the list. But there certainly are players who come to Mississippi State and they're not impressed by going to the Palmero Center. And they leave saying, well, it's weird that they don't have one of those. Everybody else has one. It's just another toy. And if your NIL deal is good, and that's how, you know, that's the main thing players are concerned with. Like, am I getting my money? But once they have their money, they want to be able to go to nice facilities. They want to be able to have the things that other that you get at other places, you know, like I want to come to Mississippi State, but I want to have a great experience there as well. This is going to be a part of that. So for State, it's something they needed to do. And kudos to Zach Selman. Put this master plan out a couple months back. And when you put out a master plan, it really does, you know, sometimes you look at it and you go, well, it looks great. You know, it's these renderings are awesome, but you know, when are you going to start putting pen to paper and start putting, you know, people to work? This is the first step. This was the most important thing to Zach Selman on the master plan, I guess, outside of the LED lights, which, by the way, as we speak, are going up at Davis-Wade Stadium. You can drive over right now and watch the construction. Maybe not right now. It is, you know, 6:42. Guys might have gotten off work, but you can go tomorrow. It's not raining. And go see the LED lights going in. So, you know, it's definitely a little bit of slow and steady wins the race because State just, they're behind. There's no getting around that fact. They're behind. They had, you know, poor leadership at times that left them behind at this point. And so Zach Selman is doing everything he can to bring that back up. You know, Zach and I have, we have our disagreements. We've had some back and forths in his time here. But one thing I truly believe is he has done a lot for Mississippi State in his tenure. He has brought in more donations than any athletic director previous to him in terms of the size, you know, in terms of large donations, what they consider large, you know, 6-7-digit donations. Zach Selman has been bringing those into Mississippi State. Facilities have been improved under his watch. Now, the main thing is the main thing, right? Winning games. He's hired one coach. That guy's 2-10. He's about to hire another coach. And that guy will be on the clock immediately. This is Mississippi State baseball. There is no rebuild. There is no, we're going to be 2-3 years away from the playoff. None of that. Not at Mississippi State. Regionals next year, maybe hosting. That's the standard, right? Football, you get a little more leeway. You need to be better this year, but you know, you can live with one really down season. It's not great. It's not what you want. But you're willing to give another year. But that's how Zach Selman ultimately will be judged by his hires. But the stuff he's done for Mississippi State, by and large, and it's weird. There's like all these narratives about Zach. I'll give you one off the top of the head. Doesn't care about baseball. Well, clearly he does. He dismissed Lemonis, and the names that are being... I mean, you heard what Jacob just said. I don't expect Mississippi State to hire an assistant coach. I expect them to get a big fish. I mean, Kendall Rogers said the same thing on Sports Talk last week. I don't think it will. I asked him, is there a name like Chris Lemonis? Because Lemonis' name wasn't on any initial hot board for State in 2018. He said, I don't think it'll get to that. The interest is out there, and Zach Selman is bringing those guys in. And I think he's clearly made a commitment to baseball because he knows how important baseball is to Mississippi State. If he was at Oklahoma as their athletic director or somewhere like that, he might just be willing to let baseball flounder and say whatever happens, happens. He knows that he can't have customer satisfaction at Mississippi State if baseball is struggling They have to be good. That's part of the job. If when you take the job at Mississippi State as athletic director, you concede that baseball will be important to you. So, it is what it is on this facility. They needed that. We got somebody saying they graduate in 2028. Buddy, if you get an offer from Mississippi State, you're going to have a fantastic facility to go to. I wish you the best. Am I surprised that they've pushed into facilities like this? A little bit. A little bit. The gift from the Howard family, I was told, is the largest gift in Mississippi State athletic history. They did not reveal the number. Apparently, that they don't want that number out there, and that's fine. I get that. Nowadays, you don't want anybody to know how much money you have. I get that. I would be surprised if part of it maybe didn't find its way into this gift. I don't know if all of the gift is directly to the construction of this facility. So could part of that gift go into the State Excellence Fund? Possibly. But the State Excellence Fund, State's new, you know, fundraising wing for NIL, they've announced what? Well over $10 million worth of gifts, right? In the last 6-7 months since they started pushing people to donate the State Excellence Fund over the Bulldog Initiative. So I feel like that's, you know, in decent enough shape as long as those gifts, you know, continue. Part of those gifts continuing will be improved football this upcoming season. If I graded the Selman tenure to this point, I mean, it's probably a B+, you know, because you can't give a guy an A when he hires a football coach that goes 2-10. At best, I got to give incomplete on that. So everything else, though, I don't have a lot of complaints about Zach Selman's tenure at Mississippi State. And I'm a guy that's known as a complainer. So by and large, I think Zach's done a really good job. And he's been on top of things. He's focused on the things that Mississippi State absolutely had to have happen in terms of fundraising, in terms of facilities, in terms of just, you know, by and large, getting its fan base motivated and back into things. Are there some things I think he could be doing differently? Sure. Nobody's perfect. Nobody. I'm never going to say anybody's doing a perfect job. He's got a couple of easy wins out there, a couple of layups he could lay in that I wish he would, but this is a good, you know, there's nothing negative that came out of the news today for Mississippi State. Somebody on the C Spire text line, what are the start times for baseball this weekend? You got a late start on Friday, 7:30 first pitch. So we're gonna be going up at Duty Noble. We're going to be partying. 2 o'clock on Saturday, 1 o'clock on Sunday are our first pitch times. They haven't announced the rotations yet, but I would imagine State hasn't made a change in, what, like 4 weeks, 5 weeks? So I imagine Pico, Evan Sieri, and Carson Ligon will be your starters for there. If he hires Mingione, it's an instant F. Take Mingione off the list. He ain't getting hired. He's done. No, there will be no Nick Mingione at Mississippi State next year. Even if, everything else aside, State's not paying a $6, $7 million buyout to anybody, I don't think. That's why I'm not totally sold on Wes Johnson as a candidate either. So, all right, we'll wrap it up when we come back. It's Thunder and Lightning live here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Now's the time to get a great deal on select Kubota compact tractors. Rated number one in durability and owner experience. They're designed for easy operation and feature performance matched detachments. Right now, put zero down and get 0% APR for up to 72 months, plus save up to $800 on select equipment. Now through June 30th. See us or go to KubotaUSA.com for full disclaimer.
Divinity Equipment Company on Highway 51 in Madison and at the end of Spring Ridge Road in Clinton.
Hello, my name is John Merrill, the owner of Amada Senior Care. We're your local trusted advisor for senior home care. We provide experienced caregivers for your loved ones so they can remain in their home. Just like you would care for your loved ones, our employees provide assistance with their personal care needs. As your trusted senior advisor, I can help your family navigate the long-term care insurance process. Just call me, John Merrill with Amada Senior Care, for your free in-home consultation, 601-864-3752.
Ace Bolt & Screw is excited to announce the opening of Madison County's newest commercial industrial superstore. Ace Bolt & Screw features the brands the professionals expect to find: DeWalt, Milwaukee, Gear Wrench, Klein, Diablo, and many more. When you're looking to get the right tool to get the job done, look no further. For all your fastener and power tool needs, shop Ace Bolt & Screw. Ace Bolt & Screw, 346 Church Road, located right across from Germantown High School in Gluckstadt.
In Mississippi, with our ever-changing weather, termites and household pests can disrupt your family life and take a toll on your home. Family Termite understands that these economic times are hard on everybody. To help you and your family out, we're offering flexible payment plans. Call Family Termite and let us help protect your home. 601-933-1014. 601-933-1014. Or reach us at www.family-termite.com.
Hey, I'm here with Alex Murray of Auto Innovation.
At Auto Innovation, we want to change your car buying experience. When you're in the market for a quality pre-owned vehicle, please come see us. We want to make friends, not just customers. All eligible vehicles are inspected by a MasterTech mechanic and come with a limited powertrain warranty on us. We are located on Highway 51 in Ridgeland. Come by and see us or check out our inventory online at autoinnovation.net. Let us change your car buying experience.
Auto Innovation, Highway 51 in Ridgeland.
Pure Air Consultants has always been your go-to for reliable and affordable heating and cooling systems, and now we're offering an additional product to avoid the 25 to 30% increase that everyone is talking about. With Day and Night, a Carrier family product, your professionals at Pure Air Consultants can install a reliable heating and cooling system with a 10-year system warranty. Pure Air Consultants and Day and Night, providing ultimate comfort for your home for an affordable price. Call us today for your free quote, 601-939-7420. That's 601-939-7420, or find us online at mypureairconsultants.com.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
President Trump's Meet the Press interview with Kristen Welker, which aired yesterday, was not confrontational, certainly not like the earlier sit-down with ABC's Terry Moran, when the president accused the veteran newsman of asking a stupid question and saying things that weren't true. Now, Trump did make some news on NBC by saying definitively this time that he will not seek a second term. And he gave Kristen Welker sort of a walk and talk tour of the glitter and gold of Mar-a-Lago. But here's what I thought was unfair. She asked him about complying with orders from the courts, most notably the Supreme Court. And the headlines all said, Trump, I don't know. Well, the full answer was, I don't know. I'm not a lawyer. It will depend on what the Justice Department says. And that is very different. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Go beyond the headlines on Middays with Gerard Gibbert, weekdays 10 to 1, here on Super Talk Mississippi. Thunder and lightning on Super Talk Mississippi.
All right, let's wrap things up here on a Wednesday evening. Super Talk Mississippi, Thunder and Lightning. I'm Brian Haydad. That's Rhino. Rhino, so we seem to have gotten through this one. We had no further. I guess you stayed in your seat. You didn't trip over that wire that Borky tripped over. I appreciate you, as always, for carrying us through another episode of Thunder and Lightning. This weekend, Mississippi State Ole Miss baseball. I'll be in the lounge Saturday. I'm excited for that. A buddy of mine hit me up. He's like, hey, come sit with us. I was like, okay. Be happy to. So, Friday night in the press box, Sunday in the press box, but I'll do Saturday out in the lounge. Got to make something, too. Got to make some food. I can't show up empty-handed. It just doesn't work for me. But I'm not cooking, so I got to bring something that's already ready to eat. I'm thinking sausage balls. Make some sausage balls. Rhino, sausage balls, yay or nay?
Heck yay.
All right. It's so let it be written. So let it be decreed. I'll make some sausage balls. I think State's going to get this series, but buddy, there is no result that would surprise me. State sweeps, States get swept, Ole Miss wins, State wins. It's a four outcomer in this one because I don't know if what I saw last week from State is the new normal or if Ole Miss is going to come in fired up and ready to go and try to get, you know, their selves set up to be a host, or if State is going to play with that desperation of, you know, State's kind of already in the postseason. It is win and survive in advance for Mississippi State these next 2 weekends. They need these wins. Ole Miss needs these wins as well, but for a different reason. You know, they want to host. Had a correction earlier on the text line. Appreciate you for doing that. Ole Miss is actually 13-11, not 12-12. So if they were to win this series and next week, they'd be 17-13. I think that's good enough to host. Their RPI would be, their RPI at 17-13 would be much better than what State's was. State was in the 20s last year when we got to Selection Sunday, or Selection Monday. I guess it's Selection Sunday when you talk about the host sites. Ole Miss should be up in the teens, so I still don't have a really good feeling one way or the other. I'm more leaning State because it's in Starkville. If they were in Oxford, I'd probably lean towards Ole Miss, to be honest. Justin Parker's first go round with the Rebels as the head coach of the Dominicans. And I want to give Parker a lot of credit. We had him on Sports Talk Mississippi on Monday, and I feel like from a mentality standpoint, he is handling this very well. You know, there's a balance for him between. He doesn't want to talk down Chris Lemonis. He doesn't want to talk down because Lemonis is his friend, and I get that. But at the same time, it's not. You'd have to be blind not to see how much better this team played last week than they had in the previous weeks. If Chris Lemonis is the coach last week, I don't think they sweep Kentucky. They probably lose a series. I do think this team played with less pressure last week. I think the weight of, because these players, you know, they talk about blocking out the noise, but They know that their coach's job was in jeopardy, and they were probably trying very hard to not do that, and maybe it got to them. Whereas now, they can just play. And so I just don't know if what I saw last week, is that going to be sustainable? If State can play baseball the rest of the way, like they played last week, they can make a little bit of a run here. I don't think they can get to Omaha by any stretch of the imagination, but could they do some damage in a regional and get to the super regional? They could. They have enough talent. I have an interview coming up on Friday's Thunder and Lightning podcast with Chase Parham from RebelGrove.com. Nobody covers Ole Miss baseball better than that guy. And he talks about Ole Miss. He says, you know, they are the sum is greater than the parts. And I said, well, that's the opposite of State. I feel like with State, they have a lot of great parts, but they haven't been a good team. So something's got to give when these two teams. And, of course, it's Ole Miss versus Mississippi State, right? It is the top rivalry. I don't know if it's the best rivalry in SEC baseball. I honestly would put State LSU above, just in terms of historical standpoint. I mean, Ole Miss fans, you can't disagree with me. The 80s and the 90s were not the best times for y'all. You can't. I'm not talking you down when I say that. You know it's true. But since Mike Bianco's arrival, yeah, this has been one of the best ones. Of course, you know, State has dominated this rivalry over the past since 2016. So the last 8 meetings, State has won the season series. They had to have some extra. They had to have an extra game last year to do that, but they did get three out of five. And then prior to that, you know, had been really, really good. History doesn't play much of a role, though. History doesn't get to go out and take an at-bat or throw a pitch. So, we'll see what happens. We'll talk about it a lot more the next couple of days on Sports Talk Mississippi and, of course, on the Thunder and Lightning podcast. My interview with Jacob Rudner that we heard tonight, if you missed it, it's on the podcast tomorrow. And as I mentioned on Friday, my interview with Chase Parham from RebelGrove.com. Plenty of preview. It's been a while since we really got into and dove into preview to baseball series. I'm glad to be back doing it. Going to enjoy these last couple weekends of the regular season. All right, for Rhino down in Studio X, I'm Brian Haydad. Thank you so much for joining me here on a Wednesday. It's Thunder and Lightning Live, Super Talk Mississippi. Talk to you guys tomorrow.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.